good luck, have fun, don't die.
This movie was not on my radar at all. Same. It's basically very broad strokes about a man from the future, and he's from some apocalyptic future where AI and technology has just destroyed humanity.
I feel like it's kind of a comedic retelling of The Terminator, but yeah. Involving no, well, Terminators.
Yes, for starters.
Yeah. No machines were involved in this film really at all, I don't think.
No.
Welcome to Story Joy. I'm Michael, and today I'm joined once again by Anjori, and we're going to be digging into Good Luck, Have Fun, Don't Die. So broadly speaking, what is this film about?
This movie was not on my radar at all. Until actually you were the one who had mentioned it to me, but it was not one that I had seen heavily publicized. It's basically very broad strokes about a man from the future, and he's from some apocalyptic future where AI and technology has just destroyed humanity. And he's kind of like in an infinite loop of traveling back in time to a specific moment when he believes he can prevent whatever it is that happened that ended up destroying the planet in the future. And he keeps on coming back to this same all-American diner with the same people in it, yeah. Kind of trying to assemble a team of people that can help him on this quest.
I feel like it's kind of a comedic retelling of The Terminator, but yeah. Involving no... well, Terminators.
Yes, for starters.
Yeah. No machines were involved in this film really at all, I don't think.
No. It's kind of a sci-fi movie without actually all of that technology stuff that you often see, you know, really talks more about...
It's got the whiz-bang stuff, but yeah. There's very little science and a lot of fiction.
Yes.
But I think... My guess is in their telling, they decided, look, let's not try and compete on the science of this and just get to the point that we want to communicate.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So start off casting. What do we think of that?
Sam Rockwell is one of those actors that I know really has a following. I am actually not that familiar with his work. I know him from White Lotus, which a lot of the viewers are going to know. There is a infamous monologue that he does. I'm going to leave it at that. If you know, you know. And that's what I actually know him from. But I know from that he's one of those actors that can really hold his own just with a long monologue. And he does that over here as well.
I feel like he falls into an interesting category along with, say, like Steve Buscemi. Where there's a huge range, really great actors. Those who know really love them. But they're not like the Brad Pitts where they've got this... They are A-listers,
yes.
But not in the same way, and they're really excellent actors.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, I know him first from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
That's right,
Which is like a really wonky role that he plays, and I feel like he in general chooses roles where he feels he can have fun.
Yes.
I've seen him in a few other things. He was in some mystery, like Detective Story a couple years ago, which I thought was fun.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen a ton of his work. I just know that the things I've seen him in, I like, and I like the way he approaches. I can tell how he thinks about storytelling and acting as an artist.
Yeah.
From a personal perspective.
Yeah.
In terms of the other actors, I don't know if I really recognize many of them. The female teacher, I know from her role as playing, I think, the judge in Loki, the TV show.
Yeah.
Other than that, I really don't know at all.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of, I think, familiar faces, like Haley Lou Richardson, I knew from a couple of movies. She's kind of that young generation of actresses who I think are really talented, and they're sort of all vying. Like Florence Pugh is from this same generation. There's a whole bunch of other actresses whose names are just escaping me in this moment, but she's from that generation who are really vying for some really good female roles.
For the most part, I don't really know many of the actors, even if I recognize them from other things. Like, I couldn't name them.
Yeah.
It was really interesting casting choices. It felt, aside of Sam Rockwell, who I feel like that was probably the number one choice, like, no, we need to get him and then fill in the gaps. I think just looking at that lineup, you feel that's what happened. It's not that the other actors are somehow lesser, but it feels like this story and the role he plays is the main catalyst for the storytelling. They're like, let's get that. The rest just isn't that important.
Right.
And you do get that feeling from the casting and how a lot of the characters are written and how everything sort of revolves around him for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about some of the casting choices. But what about the characters themselves in the story? What makes them potentially interesting or a little wonky? What is their role in this? One of the first ones, we don't actually have a name for him at all. He's just the man from the future. This is the character played by Sam Rockwell.
Yeah.
And he is, well, really wonky and feels like just a great character written for the actor himself. He's interesting, and even though he's given a backstory, I also feel that he's not completely fleshed out.
I found him to be more of a symbolic character. I think he needed to exist for the sake of the story, and that's fine. I actually think like that is the point. You needed a character in order to push this narrative forward. But you're right, when I watched it, just from the performances I'd seen of Sam Rockwell, I was like, yes, this is written for him. You know, I think in the opening scene, he speaks for like 10 or 15 minutes without interruption, holds your attention the whole time. This is what he's really good at as an actor. But, you know, as a character, I don't think it was that all that important as to who he actually is or really what his motivations are. He's just there for the narrative.
And also to remind the other characters and us, the audience, oh, you can't do this because of X rule. Mm-hmm. He always puts like, oh, we can't do this because this problem or what have you.
Yeah, he's there for exposition a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm. But in terms of otherwise driving the story, I feel like the other characters do a lot more work there, even mm-hmm. though collectively, I think they're strong in driving that. Individually, they also bring something interesting. I think one of the characters, I believe it's Susan. Right. And as always, there's always spoilers when we talk about this sort of stuff. So her son is shot and killed in a school shooting. And this is part of, we'll call it some of the very dark humor as introduced in this film. And she's very interesting because she's essentially following what's the AI equivalent of a voice in your head. And that's what's driving her to do whatever she's doing. She's like, because, oh, it's my son who's this AI-generated voice essentially telling me, do this, do that, follow you.
Yeah.
And in that way, she becomes an interesting character. And that sort of comes full circle towards the end in terms of how that may have been, you know, manipulating her.
Yeah, I found her sequence to be very effective in terms of, like, the satire that this movie was trying to do. It was probably the most challenging sort of satirical take because they're talking about a school shooting and they're really towing the line there. But, you know, again, like spoiler alert, but, you know, the idea is basically that school shootings are now so common in the world of this movie, which I think this movie is supposed to be like, I don't know, a couple of decades in the future. School shootings are so common that people are just blasé about it. And everybody's kids are getting killed in a school shooting, and then they just regenerate them by cloning their DNA and creating, like, a clone of the kid, right? And there's, I think, some very effective black humor satire mm-hmm. around that. There's this idea of, like, you know, you can get a cheaper kid if he does some advertising, and you can, if you upgrade, then you don't have the kid doing advertising.
It's like Amazon Kindle with and without ads.
Exactly. But,
you know, with humans.
Right. And I, you know, tonally, I'm not sure about the tone of the movie. Some of it was sort of broader and more humorous. This was definitely darker and more serious. But I thought in terms of what they're trying to say, this was very effective.
Yeah.
That we've just become so blasé to these school shootings. Mm-hmm. It's like just something that happens, you know, and no one's doing anything about it.
And in general, this entire film is essentially commentary.
Yes.
But before we dig into, you know, some of that, let's talk about the two teachers and Ingrid.
Yes.
So the teachers, they have their own issues with each other. For me, they weren't very interesting. They're just sort of there. Oh, and there was the other guy who was always like, this is not going to work.
I forgot all
exactly.
about him.
Exactly. That tells you everything. He's like, he's there and he has his moments that are kind of entertaining, but he's kind of a non-entity otherwise.
I think in terms of having like an ensemble cast, I think they could have done better basically with creating fully fleshed out characters, you know?
Yeah, that interacted a little bit better. It wasn't bad, give it a 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
Like, it's not bad, but it's not amazing.
Yeah.
Ingrid has this air of mystery for, we'll call it the first half of the film, and then mm-hmm. we start to get some inklings about things, and then she becomes highly relevant. Her backstory is probably the most fleshed out.
Yeah.
And therefore, perhaps also the most interesting.
Yeah, I mean, this idea of someone who has like an allergic reaction to technology, which if you think about it too much, it kind of doesn't work.
Because
she
make
basically
any sense.
Wouldn't be like, she sometimes is allergic and sometimes she's not. And, you know, and it doesn't actually make any logical sense.
No.
But the concept is a good one.
Right.
And so she's kind of like this anti-technology figure there, right? Like an opposite, a polar opposite of where the world is going. And you know, the actress's performance was really fantastic, I thought. But I did find her storyline also to be pretty moving. You know, she has a partner who initially also kind of shuns technology, and then he gets sucked in, and it's kind of like a body snatchers moment. Like, it harkens back to all of that traditional sci-fi where, like, the last person you thought you could depend on, they're now sucked into, and you're just alone.
Right, because I think much of his appeal to her was the fact that he wasn't just in technology, right? He sort of was borderline analog only.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden one day he gets this random package, and it's basically, you know, the equivalent of an Oculus Rift or something.
Yeah.
And he puts it on and he gets sucked in, and he doesn't want to be part of this world, and he wants to go to, you know, a whole different place where he can just be plugged in and live that alternative reality.
Right.
Which is wild. It's very disturbing. All right, so having talked about some of the characters and so their relevance, let's dig into the tone of the film.
Yeah, I struggled a little bit with the tone of the movie. I think it had moments where it really veered into like a broad comedic, don't take this too seriously. And I'm thinking about the woman whose name I can't remember, who was like, I just wanted to eat pie. And then she gets like
I
shot
totally
a million times.
I forgot about that character too. But she exits early.
Yeah, or like the Boy Scout leader who like gets shot, and like they like it's supposed to be comedic because the Sam Rockwell character basically says, you know, you're going to go out there and be a hero, you'll be fine. And then he goes out there and he gets shot. And it was like, yeah, I knew he was going to get shot. And it's played for laughs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine, because that's a certain kind of, like, broad satirical comedy. But then you have these really serious moments, like, with the mother whose son is killed in the school shooting, that are really moving.
Yeah.
You know, you have the serious moments with Ingrid and her partner who gets sucked into technology, and it's really heartbreaking. And so I was a little bit like, you need to pick what tone you're taking here. Is this going to be a darker, sadder movie? Or is this broad comedy where, you know, people are getting ripped to shreds and shot and eaten up by an AI-generated monster and all kinds of weird stuff, and it doesn't really matter?
I think the film struggles with tone.
Yeah.
I also think I understand what it's trying to do. It's like, okay, look, we're trying to sell a pretty hard message here, right? It's hard-hitting in that way. It's a very firm POV. And it's like, okay, let's throw in some comedic relief, right? Let's you know, through satire, you know, send the message. But it doesn't really blend well.
Yeah.
And so you don't get that relief. You just get dark and or slightly awkward or almost off color humor.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, yeah, this is not really working.
Yeah.
So I think on that front, it struggles and probably doesn't quite work. And it just feels overall like a serious film that's trying to be more comedic than it actually is.
Yes.
And so that's one of my major critiques of it.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, let's think about, what is the message of this film? Like, because it's very heavy on messaging. Like,
yeah.
It has a very strong, like almost like a fable, like it wants to tell us something.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that one of the letdowns was near the end, where you have Ingrid, who ends up being like this incredibly important character to this quest, interacting with this kind of creepy kid, but he's sort of ageless kid who, like, apparently invented the AI that then ended up destroying the world, right? And they're kind of in this, like, AI hellscape, and he is trying to, like, convince her that AI and technology are a good thing, and virtual reality is a good thing. And there's this very heavy-handed messaging. It's, like, in the dialogue, where he's like, wouldn't you want your future child to live in a world without suffering, you know? Isn't it better for him to be able to experience a virtual reality instead of all the hardships of the world? And at that point, I was like, no, we got it, and you don't need to actually say it. You know, I think the message is very loud and clear, and I think they went a little bit too hard in spoon-feeding it to the audience.
And that's a recurring problem with the film. Lots of exposition, lots of telling rather than showing,
yeah.
Which I think for any writer, one would say is a faux pas or like a capital offense, right? Because when you do that, you pull people out. It's not as compelling. You don't draw people in emotionally as much because you're just telling them, okay, I understand. We can move on now versus taking them through that story visually and through dialogue that then sort of draws on us emotionally and gets us invested. And then when we arrive at the point, we're emotionally ready to sort of embrace that. In this case, they don't do that build, they don't do that work. They just say, here's the message, here's the dish, eat.
Right.
So I don't love that bit. I mean, the overall message though, which is essentially a cautionary tale around AI and the way we're getting sucked into social media, and it is a very either broad or multiple strokes that it's, you know, in terms of things it's trying to touch on.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sympathetic to that view.
Yeah.
You know, particularly, you know, me working or doing work in analytics, AI is brought up all the time. Mm-hmm. And I look at what's being done and it's some work is better, some is less. But overall, it's like, oh, what are you doing for AI? Not should we? It's like, what are you doing, right? We need to be doing more.
Yeah.
There's no question of that. And so, you know, whereas some in the past, like, oh, we're sleepwalking, like people would say, like, for a war or something, where, you know, people are sleepwalking. It's like, no, we're running headlong into it, fully knowing that's what's there.
Yeah.
Now, do I know, you know, do I necessarily think or imagine it's going to result in, like, a Skynet scenario or what we see in this film? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I do think that there are some voices out there talking about this, but by and large, it's like, no. Look at how NVIDIA is doing. Look at how Anthropic's doing. Look at, you know, GPT and all these firms. Like, this is the future. This is the now. This is where all the intention, this is where we should be investing. But there's very little sort of, not only introspection, but critical examination of what's being done. I mean, even, you know, I look at a lot of this stuff and I know, and this has been discussed by, I think, one of the Nobel laureates who was given credit for a lot of this work. It's like, even though humans have, we'll call it designed the framework for AI, it does its own thing in terms of how it learns. And he used a really great example. It's sort of like the equivalent of saying, well, yeah, we created the mechanism of evolution, but we have very little hand in the evolution itself.
Yes.
And that is, you know, the problem. And there'll be folks who say, no, that's not how it works. You know, there's perhaps some room for disagreement. But overall, there's a huge gap between what's happening and our understanding.
Yes.
And this is among even people who are very, you know, technically savvy, who are at the center of the, you know, so-called AI revolution. So I do think, not only in terms of the moral messaging, but just the fundamental sort of you know, position of like, we should be talking and thinking about this a lot more than we are, rather than just going headlong into something we don't understand that may have consequences we don't appreciate. Mm-hmm. And once they happen, we may no longer be able to do anything about them.
I mean, I think even from a technical perspective, the fundamental catch-22 with making a movie like this is that you have to lean very heavily on some sort of CGI. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of computer-generated effects, particularly near the tail end of the movie.
It got weird.
I mean, it was very artistic, but I was like, hold on, you're criticizing all of these advances in technology. You're also leaning on them really heavily to make this movie. You know, which is, I think it's a luxury if you're a writer, because you can write all of that stuff. But if you're going to make a movie, this is the medium that you're stuck in, and you're going to use the same technology that you're criticizing, right? These are clearly not practical effects. So I find that a little amusing for any kind of movie that sort of tries to carry this message, because it also benefits from advances in technology.
Yeah. So although I don't think the film was confused or particularly confusing, I do think it was uneven in the sense of they were trying to achieve something in terms of how they're going to tell the story, and it didn't always pan out.
Yeah.
And I think it's tricky because really they have a very hard-hitting message.
Yeah.
Right? Very firm POV, and it's a somewhat a bleak one.
Yeah.
And they're trying to blend that with comedy.
Yeah.
And they just didn't quite figure it out fully.
It works
a little bit here and there.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, having Sam Rockwell and a few others and some of the dialogue helped.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's like, I'm sorry, this is just not working for me. And it does pull me out. I'm like, okay, but I know what you're trying to say here. I will continue going along for the ride, but I've been pulled out.
I mean, I had one other sort of like narrative issue or just story issue with it, which was, you know, it's not necessarily like a bad thing, but I was kind of like, oh, this again. And that's the twist, again, heavy spoilers, the twist that like basically the main female character, the biggest point of her is that she is pregnant with a child that is going to grow up to be Sam Rockwell's character. And I was like, oh, this again.
It's a classic
trope. We're all reduced to like pregnancy at the end of the day.
Right.
You know?
That's a big thing in the Terminator films, right?
It's a big thing in every single thing, you know?
I also think I think it's called Looper.
Yeah.
Have you heard of that one?
Yeah.
It's a solid film, but
yeah.
It's kind of the same idea. It's the boy that matters. The mother is even less relevant.
Yeah. My biggest gripe is men get to be the chosen one and women get to be Madonna, essentially. That is basically where these themes come from, right? It's a sacred mother that gives birth to the boy who is then the chosen one. And this is like in every single piece of speculative fiction ever.
But fundamentally, her perceived value is through her son, not intrinsic.
Yes, and it didn't bother me as much as I thought it would, but when that twist came up, I was like, oh, here we go again. All right.
Yeah.
You know?
I hadn't actually thought about that much until you just brought it up. That's kind of lazy.
Yeah.
I have to be
again,
honest.
Again, it's throughout. I mean, you gave some example. I mean, Harry Potter, like, the mother's greatest thing is that she, like, gave birth to him and loved him.
Right,
you know,
right.
I mean, this is Judeo-Christian idea of, like, Mother Mary, basically.
Okay. Though I don't think they lean too hard otherwise into, like, religious ideas.
No, I know. It's just a storytelling thing. The same with, like, the idea of the Chosen One, mm-hmm. which is also a Judeo-Christian idea.
Whereas, like, if you watch The Matrix, I'm like, okay, we get it. He's Jesus.
Yes.
Like, that was...
Oh, Narnia. Yeah, you know, I mean, I bring it up more because I think it is just enmeshed in Western storytelling. Mm. It's not religious. It's just, this is a system of storytelling that we are very familiar with.
It almost might be to some extent subconscious.
Oh yeah. Totally.
Obviously, like, you know, writing is a very conscious effort.
Yeah.
But what are you drawing on? It's these, you know, cultural touch points.
Yeah.
And that's obviously going to be one.
Yeah. Because I think about the same story, and had that character been a man, it would have been like, you are the chosen one who's supposed to stop AI.
Right.
Instead, it's like, you are going to give birth to the person who's going to stop AI.
Right. Even in Dune, I mean, we're going on a little bit of a sci-fi parade here. The mother is relevant in her own right, but still her primary role revolves around her son.
Yeah.
And more broadly, her children and grandchildren. Yeah. But like, if they didn't exist, she would just be another Bene Gesserit, just another whatever.
Yes.
Right? And she wouldn't be that important.
Yeah. You know, this is one of the things I'm still kind of thinking about. Mm-hmm. I'd be really interested to see what people think in the comments. But it did strike me. As soon as that came up, I kind of did like an internal eye roll.
All right. So having gone through, we'll call it a lot of the meat of the film and the characters, mm-hmm. what do you think of the film overall? Like, in terms of rating, and also does it work for you?
Yeah.
On balance.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably give it something like a 6.5 out of 10, maybe a 7. Like, it's not a bad movie by any means, and I was entertained, and I'm glad I saw it. It's not a movie that I'm gonna, like, want to see again or necessarily even recommend to a bunch of people. I think it stakes its claim as one of the movies that are coming out right now talking about technology and grappling with the current situation. But I did not find it to be extraordinary. What I did appreciate is sort of the experimental nature of it. You know, the concept was fresh. Sam Rockwell's performance was really entertaining. And it is very much a film of the current moment.
I think that film would struggle a lot more without Sam Rockwell to play that character.
Yeah.
That's why I think the casting choice was spot on. It was in a way written for him, but it also required some of his caliber and his approach to sort of like this visual, you know, storytelling. Because I think a lot of actors would struggle with that. It's also an odd role within the film. It doesn't even have a name,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you take out that character or make it weaker, I don't think the rest of the cast, and this is not really being critical of the actors, but just, you know, how they're written and all of that, I don't think it would do particularly well.
Yes.
On balance, I give it a 6 out of 10. All right. So, you know, for those who want to out of 5, it's a 3 out of 5. I think it was fine. I think it's a good topic. I think it's timely. I am obviously sympathetic to the general perspective that it's communicating. I do think it's, if not quite all over the place, uneven. And I think they struggled to go from where they understood this is too serious, and if we're just stick with very serious, this is not going to do well. And they struggled to take that and turn it into something a little more comedic and to bury that message. Because when I saw some of the trailers and the advertising, you can even see from the visual, they're trying to lean a little more into this is going to be a little slapstick, a little silly, a little funny.
Yes.
You get it and they're like, this is not particularly funny. This is quite serious with a bit of comedy in there. But even a lot of the so-called comedic dialogue is borderline acerbic. It's very sharp. And very critical. Right? Very sarcastic.
Yeah.
So 6 out of 10, glad I saw it. I do think there was a gap between my expectation, and maybe it's a bit my fault, and what I ended up seeing on the screen, but I don't regret seeing it.
Yeah.
So if you want something that's got a strong POV about AI, this is your film, definitely check it out. Let us know what you think.
I mean, and if you're a Sam Rockwell fan, this, I think, a very good display of his talents.
Exactly. You're going to appreciate the work he did there. Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Anjori.
All right. My pleasure.